I'll have us take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. And then I'm going to read a verse in John chapter number 3, verse number 2. The scripture said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, anybody can shine light in the darkness. You got a flashlight, you can shine it into darkness. But it takes God to bring light out of darkness. Only God can bring light out of darkness. Has shined into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I'll emphasize this next verse later on, but I want to just read it. Talk about Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, John 3, 2. By night is what I'm interested in. And said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." I think by nature that there are places and circumstances and things that we are afraid of, we try to avoid. Everybody has some kind of a fear and phobia of certain things. Maybe yours may not be mine, but you have yours. Some are greatly afraid of heights. Others are afraid of insects, spiders, things of that nature. While some fear to great extent reptiles such as snakes and lizards. All of you are looking afraid already. I must have caught you in your category. But I think there's one place that probably at one time or another in our life, we all have been afraid of, and that is darkness. Darkness. From the time that you were a child to now, some point in time, you probably were afraid of darkness. The scripture implies this fear of darkness when it says in Psalm 91:5, "Thou shalt not be afraid of for the terror by night." It's one thing to be terrified, but to be terrified by night. I can remember years ago I read that book, Helter Skelter, you know. And man, when I finished that, I finished it during the night. It was about 3 in the morning. And of course, it's the story of what was his name? Manson, yeah. Charles Manson killed all those people out there in California in that tape to that woman and all of that. And of course, he was a cult situation. But anyway, the emphasis is 3 in the morning, I was up checking all the windows to see if they were locked and the door and everything else. He just, you know, maybe there's another one of them Charles Mansions out there, and I didn't want him breaking into my house. And I can remember an occasion when my dad, he was a drunk, and he sent me down what was called, what we call a holler in West Virginia. And if you've never been to West Virginia, you've never seen a holler. It's just two mountains with a creek and a little path called a road. Sometimes a railroad track. Sun don't get in there but 3 or 4 hours a day. And he sent me down what was called Upton Holler to get him a fifth of liquor. And so I went down. I probably would like to say 9, maybe 10 years old. And I went up on the porch of this little old house. And the moon was shining. That was the good thing. But I made my way down there. Didn't have a flashlight. And I went up, knocked on the door, and there's a huge black lady that she opened the door about that much, and I could see in there, and she asked me who it was, and I told her, and I said, my dad, Lester Williams, sent me down here to get a fifth of liquor. And so she handed me the bottle, and I handed her $2 or $3. I forget how much it was. And I was already scared to death because I knew, you know, it was dark. The mountains were there, lions, tigers, and bears, everything that you could think about. And then it was a black community, that part of it down there. And, of course, they assuming I had money, which I didn't. I'd give it to her, but I had a fifth of liquor, and they probably would want that. So I've got all these things going on in my mind. And then she did something I wish she wouldn't have done. She took a little old pistol and brought it out and put it up in the light. She had a little old bulb on the porch, and she hollered out. She said, now if there's anybody out there and you're going to hurt this boy, I said, I'm going to shoot you. I said, well, there must be somebody out here. She wouldn't be doing that. So that brought greater fear to me as to what might happen. And plus, she was so big, she couldn't get through the door. So, I mean, I knew she wasn't no help after I got out in the yard beyond the gate. So, but I never was so, even to this day, I think of that fear that I had walking back up out of that holler and getting back to the house. And thank God I did make it. But what I'm trying to emphasize is there is great fear as far as darkness is concerned. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 8 said, every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. And of course, we all are human, and so therefore these fears grip us. And the one that I want to emphasize is this matter, and I want to preach on this subject, out of the darkness. Out of the darkness, or the thing that we fear so much. I want to introduce it by saying, first of all, that God is the one who made darkness. Psalm 104, verse 20, thou makest darkness, and it is night. If we're not careful, we'll give the devil credit for something that he ain't got no doings in. And oftentimes we do. So Isaiah 45 and verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. So God made the thing that we fear the most. Somehow we put an evil aspect to it. And of course, when we talk about the darkness of sin and wickedness, there is that evil aspect. But in the matter of the child of God's life, we realize that God made the darkness of this world. Psalm 74, verse 16, the day is thine, the night also is thine. So God's in charge in the daylight, but He's also in charge at night. He doesn't need what you and I would call artificial light to operate. He can see in that darkness. And then the Scripture tells us not only did He make it, but it seems as though that God, well, the Scripture said that Solomon spake this, said the Lord said that He would dwell in thick darkness. In other words, God's not afraid of the dark. And the dark doesn't have the aspect upon Him as it would anybody else. Exodus 20, the Bible said, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. God was in the darkness. That have you ever thought that in the places where you fear the most, you may find more of God? In those dark places, He's waiting on you. 2 Samuel said, He hath made darkness pavilions round about Him. Now, I'm like the old mountain preacher. I can't explain all that. But I just give you what the Scripture said. He makes the darkness and He dwells in the darkness. He's not afraid of the darkness. He doesn't have an aspect upon Him, imprint upon Him as it does us. But what I say is God can be found in places of fear, naturally speaking. God can be found in the darkness. But then, in conjunction with that, which is important, Lamentations 3:6 said, He has set me in dark places. And boy, as you begin to read the scriptures, you realize that some of God's greatest people spent some time in dark places. And they didn't just stumble into those dark places. It wasn't an accident or happenstance, but God Almighty put the darkness there and placed them inside of that darkness. He has a purpose for placing us in those places where we cannot perceive nor see what's happening around us. We cannot see beyond us. We can't see our hand in front of our face. It is darkness. We cannot see what is approaching us or whatever. We're in those dark places, and many times they are steeled dark places. Think about Joseph when he placed him into that pit. They put that lid over there. What a dark place for a 17-year-old boy. In a sense, he dwelt in that darkness in Egypt for 22 years out of the presence of his father. Think about Daniel when he was placed that night in that lion's or den of lions and the darkness that was there. Think about Jonah and the 3 days and nights he spent in the belly of the whale. I'm sure there was no light in there. He spent much time in that darkness. And so God has a place for us sometimes, and in that place there will be darkness. I began to think about that in relationship to Christ Himself. I never realized how much darkness Jesus had to experience while He was in this world. I'm not going to say that He was born in the dark. It just seems that light, that star was coming. If you could see the star, possibly it was night. But I do know when He left this world, He left out in 3 hours of darkness. And I do know that He spent many hours in the night praying. I do know from the reference of the Scriptures, when I read them, I began to look at some of the miracles and some of the places where, and the Scripture tells us that when He walked on the water, it was the fourth watch of the night. So it was in probably the darkest part of the night. I know when He had the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, when he had that, it was at night. And I do know when Judas betrayed Him, the Scripture says that He went out and it was night. And I do know that when He prayed in that garden, sweat became great drops of blood. It was night. I know that much of His trials that He went through at the hands of men before He was placed on the cross was at night. And then of going on the cross, those 3 hours of probably the greatest darkness any man could ever experience. What I'm trying to say is Jesus will never put you into something He's never been in Himself. He is no stranger to darkness. He experienced darkness in the darkest of the sense of experiencing it, in a physical sense, in a mental sense, in a spiritual sense. He experienced darkness. He's no stranger to it. So when you seem to be in your experience of darkness, realize that Christ knows all about the darkness. And He can fellowship with you about that darkness because He has a commonality in this matter of darkness. And thank God for whatever your darkness may be, whatever the times of which you seem to be brought into that area of your life to where, as I say, you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. You cannot perceive what to do. You have no understanding. And you're in that pitch darkness, in that lonely, lonely place. The great hope and the joy is thank God, one of these days all the darkness is going to be over. And the Scripture tells us that there'll be no darkness in that city because the sun is the light thereof. But I want to key in on Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 3. And I want us to see with those thoughts in mind what Isaiah has to say about the darkness. The Bible said, Isaiah said, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel." Now, where is this going to take place? The circumference of what he's talking about in verse number 3, the hidden riches, the treasures of darkness, the becoming aware of who the Lord is and that he knows you by name. He said that'll unfold in the darkness. And can I suggest to you that some of the greatest experiences, I'm going to use the word that Isaiah uses, treasures. Some of the greatest treasures of the Christian life that sustain us in the dark as well as the light are those that are found in dark places. Secrets. Secrets. And treasures that are found in the darkness. Now, I had not pondered that as I thought about that. And I'm going to tell you where this really came from. It's just that simple verse that I read to you. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And when I thought about that that meeting there that took place that night, I read the context there where Jesus, or the text where Jesus talks to Nicodemus in the night. And I realized for the first time that, did you know that when Jesus spoke John 3:16, which is probably one of the more well-known verses in all of the Bible, the gospel in a nutshell. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." What a verse that is, but have everlasting life. What light comes from that verse? How many sinners have been birthed out of darkness as they have been read that verse? How many times has that verse been quoted and preached and deliverance has come and it has been a shining light? But did you know that the first time that verse was audibly heard was heard by a Pharisee in his darkness, as Jesus spoke it Himself? First time it was ever spoken, it was spoken in the night. But as I say, how much light has come out of a verse that was spoken in darkness? And how true it is. I love to read the Bible I can't read it without the light, but I love to read the Bible anytime. But I'm going to tell you, there seems to be something about certain passages of Scriptures that have leaped out and have come alive and have shone in great light in my time of darkness. And it never ceases to shine, even down to this day. Now, the rest of the Word of God is His Word, and I'm glad that it is, but I'm going to tell you, it just doesn't seem to have the brightness about it as certain passages that God turned on, but He turned them on. It was a light that shined out of darkness. Isn't that amazing? Where God makes His Word more real to us in our hours of darkness. But I began to think about some things that, some treasures that came out of darkness. And I just want to mention this and emphasize to you. Say to you that there will definitely come those dark times, those lonely times, those shadowy times in our lives. But don't go through them and come out empty-handed. Because inside of that darkness, there will be something that God is going to give you a light on. He's going to miraculously create a light in there that you can bring out with you. And that light will shine in you and will shine through you and will shine upon others. And it will be so certain and unshaky and so stable. Why? Because it's not a man-made light. It's not a fluorescent light. It is a divine light. that came with you out of your darkness. And boy, that is truth that will shine forever. And it'll help you no matter where you are at. And I thought about these treasures that come out of darkness. I want to amplify them in the experiences of others so that we might know that we can find some treasures in our darkness also. I was thinking about Abraham and how that when God gave him the covenant in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, Abraham said, well, Lord, how in the world am I going to know that I'm going to have a son and that all these promises are true? He said, well, get me an offering. He takes that offering, as was the custom in that day. He kills that offering, divides it up, puts part on one side, and on the other side leaves a little walkway there in between. And of course, the custom of that day was through the blood covenant that the two people that were making that covenant would hold hands and walk through it. And in walking through it, they would say that we are bound to this covenant. You are bound to it. I am bound to this covenant. This is a covenant that will not be broken. Well, the Lord knew that Abraham couldn't keep his side of the promise. So what he did is he throws a darkness upon him and puts him to sleep. And it's in the midst of the darkness while Abraham's snoring that God walks in the midst of the sacrifices. So that when Abraham wakes up, it's all over with. The covenant is settled. Doesn't have anything to do with him. Has everything to do with God. But Abraham would have to say that the covenant came out of the darkness. It came out of, I was over there, I didn't see nothing. I was over there, it was a deep darkness that was there. But God was doing the work of the covenant in the night, in the midst of the darkness. My, how He seems to do that when we're all asleep. God's at work. And I would chance to say that He does much more in the night that we cannot understand that He does in the day. I thought about redemption for the children of Israel. Did you know that shedding of the blood and putting on the doorpost in Israel took place at night? It was a nighttime experience. And that when the children of Israel were redeemed and led out of Egypt, they came out at night. At night. Why? Because God was going to be their light. And then when they got to the splitting of the Red Sea, or they got to the Red Sea, they didn't know where to go. They didn't know what direction to take. But the Scripture explicitly says that it was at night. And God said to Moses at night, at that night, it was when Moses took that rod and split the Red Sea. And did you know that the children of Israel crossed over in the night? Right. And it wasn't until the next day that they could see the full ramifications and what had taken place, because by the next morning, the flood had come in and had washed away all of the Egyptian soldiers and their bodies were dead on the shore. Right. So while it was in the darkness, God was giving not only deliverance, but He was giving direction. He was making a way in the dark. And little do we realize that in our night experiences, that many times the treasure of it is, God is at work mightily, providing a way and deliverance for us in the night. When no one else would think anything else is happening. But God is working. But where is He working? He's working sometimes in our darkness. Redeemed in the darkness. Made a way in the darkness. The Scripture said that it was in that thick darkness when the children of Israel needed to hear from God that He spoke out of the darkness. Hearing those words. The voice of God sounding forth in the daylight, we don't hear too much. Because we're too busy. That's the fact of all of our lives. We have things to tend to. But boy, I'm going to tell you, when God brings you into the darkness of whatever it may be, sickness, loneliness, rebellion in the children's life or what you're going through. It just seems as though that while you're sitting there in that darkness, that His Word has a... You can hear sounds much more keener in the dark. As a matter of fact, you can be around the house all day not paying attention to anything, and you'll be laying in the bed, and if there's any sound that is uncertain, you will hear that sound. You'll raise up and say, "What was that?" And I have gotten up and went through the house because I thought, well, you know, maybe somebody, I got my gun going through the house, and well, who was it? And I don't find anything, but I did hear, and to verify, my wife heard it too. So it wasn't that. But you hear those sounds much more clearer. Now, in the daylight, it seems like, I mean, the Word is good, but it just doesn't have the effect. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's just something about when you're sitting in that darkness and you hear that sound or you hear that music or you hear whatever, it's just, it has a greater effect upon your life, upon your thinking, upon your meditations. It becomes more real in the night. Matter of fact, you know, I have to do all of my studying in the light. You have to read and everything, but you know, most of my thoughts that I get come after I've shut everything down and I go to bed at night. My wife said, "Well, why can't you go to sleep?" Well, I can't, because in the night those wheels are turning. And or in the day, as I sit and meditate and I'm closing my eyes my wife thinks I'm sleeping, which sometimes I am, many times I am, but it's in those meditation times that all of those thoughts come formulating back. And, of course, in your dark experiences, it seems as though that those things that seem to have no application to your life make more sense. They can apply in the dark. And it seems like that truth that comes out, and I don't know how to say this, but that truth that comes out of darkness will help people more than any other thing. We talk about the old songs, and the reason why we do is because, let me tell you, you think about Fanny Crosby that wrote, I don't know how many thousand songs, but every one she ever wrote, she wrote in the dark. Right. And that may be why her songs stand out more than anybody else's songs. Or the song of Spafford, "It Is Well With My Soul," in the darkness of losing his family. Dark experiences. We think about C.H. Spurgeon, who fought depression his whole life. And yet, look at the sermons that came out of those experiences. And I'm going to tell you, I thought about the need that the great revelations of the Scripture, and I thought about in Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar couldn't get any answers and he has these dreams and everything, and he calls on Daniel to come in. And what Daniel gives him is, he says, I had visions in the night. I had revelations in the night. This came out of my night. And man, you look at how much light. Read Daniel chapter 7, chapter number 9. All there. Look how much light came out of Daniel's night. He said, "I'm just sitting there in the dark, and here's what God showed me." Wow. Didn't know you could see that much in the night. But I'm going to tell you something. The problem with religion is it can only operate in daylight. Right. Or in false light. Right. But it doesn't help anybody because it's like a battery. It loses its effect. All of these, and you've heard it enough, I mean all of these different shenanigans and programs and everything, and buttons that we push in our churches to try to get things doing, that ain't nothing but light stuff. And most of the sermons are daylight sermons, and most of the singing is daylight singing, and all it's doing is trying to stir up the superficial emotions. That's as far as it can go. But thank God when a man of God has, and these are not things you can, I'm not saying you ought to go look for darkness, no. No, please don't do that. But that's not something you can do in and of yourself. But understand that God has some dark places, but the reason why is He wants to give you something that's going to help other people in their darkness and bring them to light. Right. And isn't it wonderful when a man of God comes and he stands up and he don't have a daylight sermon that he got off of a computer or website somewhere or a little study or a little theory or something like that, but thank God somewhere in his darkness He got along with the Lord, and the Lord gave him a word, and you knew where that came from when he stood up and began to preach. You knew this was not a daylight sermon. It was one that came out of the night. And it will minister to hearts and help souls. And thank God, whatever you see in the night will never be turned off. It can't be turned off. Look at John 3:16. Spoken in the night over 2,000 years ago. But my goodness, how that light has shined for all of these years. And is as bright right now as it was the night it was spoken. And can I say to you, there are certain truths in our night experiences that become great lights that we can shine for our children, our grandchildren, and down through the generations, have their effect because they will not grow dim. And you know, a great experience is that. And your pastor had a great love, as I did, for Joe Parsons, but isn't it amazing how much truth he spoke that is a light that you see even now that didn't go out when he died? Or why? Because it was truth that came out of those night experiences of his life that he was able to express and experience. And I'm going to tell you something. As much as I am afraid of the night, I am more fearful of this daylight business that has no real ministering effect upon anybody. We just get together and try to have a good time. Well, honey, I'm going to tell you, this world needs more than just a good time. They need a word from God. And sometimes we are blessed to be taken into those places where others are afraid of, and we are able to hear those revelations and those words that come out of the dark. I was thinking again about Israel. Did you know, and I hadn't thought about this, but it's very clear and plain, and you probably have, that the manna that Israel ate, all of it fell in the night. They didn't know it was there until the next morning. Said the dew was upon the ground by night, and the manna fell upon the dew. They're going to get that necessity that they need for life. That's going to carry them and strengthen them and sustain them out of a night experience. The manna falling during the night. Oh, I hope this is not a gloom and doom sermon. I don't want you to be just a dark feeling. All I'm trying to say is that when there is darkness, and there will be darkness, there's treasures that you can't find anywhere else. And the great truth of that is Micah said, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. So that when you are in darkness, you're really not in darkness. You learn to appreciate that there is light in the midst of that darkness, and others don't understand that. That this light that God creates, that the darkness cannot comprehend nor withstand. And we understand in our salvation experience how the Lord saved us out of that darkness. But even in our Christian life and walk and experience, we must understand that it's not always going to be daylight. I began to look at the materialistic, the human side of this. For instance, I used to have some bee gums, and they produce honey. And did you know, and I read this, that all honey is produced in the dark. Inside that bee gum, darkness. Or up in that tree. That darkness, that sweetness coming out of that, out of the darkness of which the honey is produced. And I'm going to tell you something, some of the greatest and sweetest things that I've experienced that have come out of Christian lives have been those wonderful things that they experienced in the night. And yet it became honey to my soul. As they talked about the light that they saw in the midst of the darkness. I saw a light in the midst of the darkness. There was sweetness in the midst of the darkness. I also was looking on the internet, this thing of botany, plants and plant life and things like that. And of course we realize that all plant life, to do its working, chlorophyll, whatever you want to call it, has to have daylight. But they said any plant to be healthy has to have a measure of darkness. And so it is physically. When we talk about the human body, the mind. If you operated in the day all the time and tried to stay active during the day all the time, it wouldn't be long. You lose your sense and senses. That's why God created a mechanism that would cause you to become sleepy and tired. And I also read that where the best sleep is gotten is in the darkest times. That mentally your brain will not relax. Now, if you like a nightlight, this is what they said. That your mind somehow registers that that light is on. You don't get the sleep that you normally would if there was total darkness. And somehow I've got that in my mind, so I try to get total darkness if I can. I like a total darkness. I want to get all that sleep that I can. But for your body to be able to operate in the day, there has to be a measure of darkness. And may I say to you, for you to be able to function as a child of God and to be able to bring with you the light that this world needs, the only place you can find it is in a measure of darkness. And boy, I'm going to tell you, when that light comes on in the heart of a soul, it'll be something that others will realize that that's not man-made, that's not fluorescent. That didn't come from a switch. But that came from a heart that had been alone with the Lord. And how amazing that is. That from time to time as I go into churches, that at the end of that service I will be shaking hands with people. And it's almost as if that when I shake that hand and look into that eye, I see a light that I realize that came out of an experience with God. I was telling Brother Ernie about preaching in the church up there in the Georgia. And just something about it. Out of all the people that came out in that one church, I shook hands with five people that I saw a light in them that had to be God created. And they spoke out of that light. And when they spoke, I knew that it came out of a God-created experience. And again, I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be one that generates and produces and speaks out of created life and out of philosophies and theories and things that are handed down by what man thinks that's not going to make any difference, that appeals to man. And that's all evolution is. It is theories that come out of daylight, thoughts in laboratories somewhere, or where they're digging in a ditch somewhere, and they come up with some kind of what they think might happen 2,100,000 billion years ago. And I'm sitting there thinking, idiot. What do you know about what happened 21,000 billion years ago? Go over to the Kennedy Space Center. They got a rock in there. They got off the moon. And do you know what? They've almost got it dated back to the day. So many billions, millions, zillions. I said, well, why don't you just take it down to the second if you know that much? About a rock that come off a place that you was only on for a day or whatever. And you brought it back and you know so much about it. But isn't it amazing that in one night and who knows how many hours, Daniel could sit there and come out and unfold from his day all the way to eternity? Amen. Just like that. Now, honey, we can look at it 2,500 years later, 27, whatever, how many it is. And man, we can see those kingdoms that have already come and have already gone, and they line up just as square with what he saw. And somebody said, how did he know that? He must have been to some great school of theology. He must have got that from masterminds that had broken down the itty-bitty pieces of everything and studied them intensely. No. About 3 or 4 hours in the night. The man ought to have been that much. He may have just took him a little snoozer. Woke up and said, man, you ought to see what I saw. God can show you in a night dark experience more than you could ever study out in 21,000 lifetimes. And you know, the wonder of it is, and what I love about it is every time you speak it to a hungry heart, you can see it grab. It's like fishing. I'm not a fisherman. I don't mind catching fish, but I don't like to fish. You understand what I'm saying?
Very well.
Very well. I've been with him. I've done more talking than I did fishing. I went with Jay one time. I went to sleep, let him and Esther fish. But when I woke up, I caught as many as they had. Big talk. No fish. He carries a pretty good sized pitcher. But anyway, feel like that. And boy, when that you're talking to somebody or preaching to somebody, and all of a sudden, and you know what they saw because you've seen it, and you know where it came from. The light comes on. God begins to minister. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Can I suggest to you that the Lord works in your darkness? Whatever that may be, just make sure you're not there in vain. And you say, well, preacher, what are we supposed to do? Well, what do you normally do in the night? Don't go trying to pitch around and fall around and get hurt. Just feel around and get you a place to sit down. And just sit there until the light comes. And you know, everybody thinks that preachers have the answers. But we don't have any answers. But I know somebody that has the light.
Right.
And my recommendation, my good news is just sit there until the light comes on. And you ever seen anybody when the light come on? In salvation?
Yes, sir.
What's the brother's name here got saved?
Kenny.
He's in darkness, but buddy. How do you see all that in one experience? I've been here to these meetings, listen to him testify. How does he know all that in one experience? That light comes on, you start seeing things you ain't never seen before, honey. There's a lot to see. Now, in the darkness, it's just sort of, you know, fearful and boring or whatever. Mostly fearful because you don't know. But boy, when that light comes on, it's like the Apostle Paul, when God opened him up spiritually, you see so much truth. That'll help you through life and help everybody else through life. Now, I hope you're not in any darkness at all. But if you are, and you probably will be, over some situation, just realize God has treasures in it for you. And don't come out without them.